Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is it true that you have a separate training place where you don't train with the rest of the team?
No, I wouldn't say that. Probably do some of my own techniques differently than the rest of the team. I mean, the team is, I would say, like most teams are very systematic in their approach. And what I learned, I guess, is different than some of the things that are systematic, but that work for me. So it's nothing that I don't talk about with my coach and owner, and is what I want to do, is what I need to be the best player I can be. And, you know, hopefully you can support that.
Dan Johnson's mic was open. You heard the cackling there.
I wanted you to hear it.
There's Shaughnessy laughing at Brady saying he doesn't train separately from the team. Why do you find that so funny, Dan?
Well, it was just funny. Like, she posed it like a question, like, no one's ever thought of this before. Like, hey, I've done some deep dive on your situation here, and is it possible that you have your own trainer, your own training methods?
She was reading a lot.
It was just stupid. But Beetle, I mean, the last 5 minutes of us talking here, this feels like, are we going to go into this season where it's framed as you're either Team Bill or Team Tom? Like, every fan, every member of the media cartel.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
People are going to
start. We're going to do our shows from down here. People, I will have my binoculars to see what is the interaction.
It feels like that's where this is headed. You got to choose. Like,
you know what?
You know, like when Parcells left, you had to choose between Kraft and Parcells.
Nobody's talked about this. Who's the defensive coordinator? Come on.
Brian Flores.
He's not named that. They don't have one.
Okay, but it's Brian
Bill.
Flores.
Okay, so it's going to be Brian Flores, but where's Bill going to spend most of his time? With
defense.
The offense or the defense?
Defense.
That's going to take, I don't want to say the pressure off, but hey, coach, why are you spending all the time with the defense?
Good point.
Well, I mean, you know, Josh has kind of got a handle on things with Scar and, you know, Chad O'Shea. They know what they're doing. We got to get the next pseudo defense coordinator ready, so I'm going to babysit this one. Bill will be doing a lot of the hands-on stuff with the interior linemen, defensive linemen, with the dummies. He did that last couple years, too. So not having that named defensive coordinator is going to allow Bill to spend a ton of time with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to be seeing, I guarantee you, when camp opens. A lot of Bill down on the defensive side of the ball. But I think fans are going to be going there, seeing, watching. What's the interaction? What's the relationship? Hey, when Stride and Stretch starts, and they play the music, and they're doing a little hip scop and jump across the field, and then they sit down, and they're doing the leg spread and leaning this way, and Bill's twirling a little whistle around his finger. Is he breaking Brady's balls, and he's having fun?
Right.
Like, are they leaning in, talking, laughing? No. You always see the pictures in the paper of them leaning in, laughing,
right,
during Stride
and Stretch.
Tom's got his hands on his hips, and he's
yeah,
that's right, coach. You know?
Yeah, we're having a moment.
Will there be those moments, or are they over?
No, it just feels so split. Like, all the calls today, no one's in the middle in this thing. Everybody's choosing sides. Team Bill or Team Tom?
Rich in Watertown, you Team Bill or Team Tom?
Shaughnessy, I'm in the middle.
Oh, really? Thank you.
All right, we've got a guy in the middle.
Measured guy, excellent.
You know, right on cue, huh?
First one.
But I mean, you know, I've always been about focusing on the team as a whole and not the individuals. I mean, there's definitely some politics going on. You can see it when they interview Brady and Gronk. You can see the hesitation, and you can see the wheels turning when they're answering the questions because they're not allowed to speak their mind. But you know what? This team was designed to Brady's strengths. I mean, look at over the years, you know. He was always basically, you know, they had the route runners, the short route runners across the field, you know, so the dink and dunk pass, and he never really threw a lot of long passes. And, you know, now that he's getting older, they're bringing in these these running backs for him because he's probably going to throw less. And the guy isn't in great shape. I mean, but, you know, Father Time, I mean, come on. He's got 2, maybe 3 years left if they got a good O-line. I mean, really. You got to be honest about it.
But don't you want to see him
want to play
Rich,
mentally, but his body might say no.
But don't you want to see him now play it out till the very end? Because I do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I would absolutely love to see him finish out his career as a Patriot. I mean, it just wouldn't be the same if he was, you know, playing somewhere else at the end of his career.
Right. But at Rich, thanks for the call. At this present point in time, I'm pretty sure all of us want him to play as long as possible. Given that there is no clear backup or next guy in line or anything like that.
That's his offense. Yeah. It's turkey.
You want him to play as long as possible.
Absolutely.
You want him to say, I'm playing for as long as I physically can.
Of course.
You don't want him saying, I'm thinking about retiring. I'm thinking about that sooner rather than later. And I think about it more than ever now. And, you know, he keeps going back to the kids thing. And you know how I feel about guys who do this. So I hate it. I hate when comes, oh, Josh McDaniels, because of family. He turned around and told the Colts no, which he later said wasn't true. But I just hate the, family. It's family. Almost as if it's a barrier. It's a shield against criticism because he's talking about his family. It's the easiest thing to go to. Because who can argue with that? Who can argue with someone who says, oh, my family's important to me and I want to spend a lot of time with them and I want to be a good father? Well, no one's going to argue with you on that point.
So his kid must play club soccer because it's year-round club soccer.
But my point is, what's going on right now? I mean, does this mean you're being a bad father right now? Does this mean you're not there for your kids? Does this mean you're not doing the job? Does it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe
because he hasn't played a football game since
self-help
February.
Stuff. I don't know.
And it's now coaching. June 19th. So, I mean, I would say he gets to spend a lot more time with his kids than the average father does.
Absolutely.
We all love more time with our kids. And, you know, we all strive to be better fathers. That's good. No one's arguing with that.
At some point, you got to go to work. Drop my kid off at school.
But everyone's got a job to do.
Professional athletes have more family time than anybody.
They got more family time than anybody.
They do.
So they get an offseason. So, but more importantly, when you have his means, you have the ability to spend way more time with your kids.
Of course. That's why I don't buy that part of it, which that's the fact that it keeps being brought back to the family thing. And by the way, when he's done playing football, he's going to continue going to work every day, Dan. He's going to go to work at a place that's just up the stairs in Foxborough.
They have to work more.
He's not going to go downstairs to the stadium. He's going to go upstairs to the Patriot Place, you know, shopping plaza is where he's going to be. He's still going to work every day.
Yep.
So that family aspect of it gives me hope that this is nothing but a leverage play. That part of it gives me hope on that front. Dan Shaughnessy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. We will continue with Brady calls, including next segment, but I do want to make a quick mention of a Red Sox report and get Dan's reaction to it. That's next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand at 12:20. Chowing down on lunch. Everyone, if you opened up the mics right now, that's all it would be. Brio Tuscan Grill at Chestnut Hill Square with the lunch today. Wow. Hey, Dan, I like that lunch right there.
It is tasty.
We always feed you well here, don't we, Dan?
You know, I've had good luck. Tuesday's like food day. It's amazing. Dan's dates and food.
Brio Tuscan Grill, Chestnut Hill, serving the best Italian recipes, offering grilled specialties, pasta dishes, traditional Italian desserts and drinks. They have brunch on Saturday and Sunday until 3:30.
Nice.
BrioItalian.com. Make a reservation. You can put in an order online. They got brand new management. They are humming, man. This food is terrific. Check them out. BrioItalian.com. Brio Tuscan Grill, Chestnut Hill Square.
Boom.
Bam. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We've got Brady to get to, and we've got calls that we will get to.
Team Tom, Team Bill.
That's what we're dividing it up as. We're dividing it up as Team Tom versus Team Bill. And we've had some that say it's actually right in the middle. Dan, have we talked to you about Manny Machado yet?
We have not.
How do you feel about the idea of the Red Sox pursuing him?
Well, I love him. I love his talent. It's not happening. I just don't take it seriously.
it's not on the radar. I mean, you would have to obviously extend his contract before you give up anything for him. You're not going to take him for a half a year. And that first, and
why would he do that though?
Right, and let's not forget that there's no one in the Sox system that anybody wants. I mean, no one. So they don't have prospects to deal. I would worry about the Yanks a little bit on this.
But they do, because what if it's Rafael Devers? That's sort of a prospect. I know he's on the major league roster, but...
Yes.
Here's a proposed deal. Machado, along with Zach Britton, and maybe one other player for Devers. Do you do it?
For 3 months?
Yeah.
No.
See, I don't either.
The future Devers. I'm sorry, this guy...
I agree. I'm not giving him up.
Left-handed Cabrera. You don't know. I mean, he's, you know... He makes a lot of errors. His body type's not great, but he can rake.
Guy can mash.
He figures out the high pitch.
Look at his home run over the weekend.
So you're not getting anybody unless you're giving up a damn good player. Because you listened to Baseball Reporters the other day, and they even brought up Herrera's name from Kansas City. Got traded last night.
Traded
to the Washington Nationals. Tony was just name-shopping his name the other day. And then next thing you know, boom, he goes to the Washington Nationals, and then Mass goes, let me guess, Red Sox probably were in, but didn't have enough. And it's going to be something you're going to end up hearing a lot as this trade deadline comes.
Yeah,
didn't have enough young prospects to go get the guy that you wanted.
No.
So you're going to have to give up something good to get something good. So it's going to come down to Devers or like a Benintendi's name's been floated out there for both if it's Britton.
No.
And Machado.
Again, Machado, if you're talking about 3 months of Machado, it's different. And again, like Beatles said, why would he, he wants to find out what he's worth out there in the market. He's not going to settled for team unless he just loves the situation. I don't worry about the old stuff from last year with sliding into Pedroia, any of that stuff. I don't care about that. He's a good guy, great player, tremendous talent, third, short, name it. One of the top five players in the game. But you just don't trade him for 3 months. I mean, they're in win-now mode, but not that much.
Yeah, what they got for Herrera, three prospects in that deal, I don't think any of them were highly prized prospects. These are not top five prospects in their organization that the Nationals gave up to get Kelvin Herrera last night in a deal, but it tells you that the market for those types of pitchers, for bullpen guys, for the Red Sox, if they want to make a move, is the market is going to be competitive because there's a lot of teams looking for that type of help, and most teams are going to have more to offer than you do.
Yes.
Right?
Five,
so if the Nationals are giving up, I saw that two of the prospects are ranked 10 and 11 in their organization. Yeah. The 10th and 11th prospect in the organization for the Nationals might very well be worth more than what it is in the Red Sox system because it's so depleted.
Yes. Beetle brought up a good point the other day. After the Seattle series, everybody talks about Houston, whether it's Cleveland, the Yankees, you're competing against Seattle. Could be one of those type of series you could get into and say, oh, that's going to be a good one.
No, the American League playoff teams have been defined. It's over.
Yeah.
Unless Detroit somehow
teams could be looking to add, too. So you better have something you're able to give up.
It's New York, Boston, Seattle, and Houston. And then you assume Cleveland will stay in position because their division's so bad.
Right.
Those are your five teams. And the loser of the Yankee-Red Sox thing has a one-game playoff, and you could be facing Verlander or Hernandez. Mm. I mean, it's like, or that left-hander who stuck it to the Red Sox last weekend, didn't throw a ball over 87 the whole game.
300.
This is really finishing first is paramount. They're in win-now mode because the future's not looking good for the Red Sox. But no, I'm not in on Machado for 3 months. Nope.
I'm not either. Here's what Ken Rosenthal had as the update. Here's the report. He says the Red Sox on Machado, no go right now. The Red Sox are among the clubs to contact the Orioles about him. But President of Baseball Operations Dave Dombrowski concluded the teams likely do not match up on a trade at this time, according to a source with knowledge of the discussions. It's not clear which players the Orioles wanted from the Red Sox, whose farm system ranks 24th out of 30 in Baseball America's preseason organizational rankings. Yep. And then that was before Michael Chavis went down with the 80-game suspension. That was before Jason Groom went down with needing Tommy John surgery. Those things have happened since they were ranked 24th. I don't know where they'd be now.
And the kid they drafted in high school this year, he's a high school kid. He weighs like 240 pounds. He's a hefty slugger.
Is that right?
That doesn't generally age that well. We'll see. I mean, that's, we haven't seen him. Who knows? But they went for hitters.
Is this the Butler?
They went for high school hitters this year.
The Butler at the Playboy Mansion?
Well, they also drafted that reliever that could make an appearance at the major league level.
Right, this year. Lowell Spinners to
this
Boston.
This kid's a big kid, huh?
I guess.
Something you could see. Keep an eye out for that.
I like him.
Could see that happening. Carter in the car on Tom Brady.
Hi, Carter.
Carter.
Carter, are you there?
Guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
No.
I'm team over it. I'm not Team Tom. I'm not Team Bill. I'm Team Over It.
What's Over It mean? Like, you're done with it, or you just say bury it and play?
They should have buried it before. I know Mike Vrabel, okay? I used to bartend, a regular of mine, good guy. When he got shipped out of town, he was pissed, man. He was over it when him and Castle got shipped out. And now all this nonsense, it's the Butler thing. It's also Tom's relationship with his family. I know, Beetle, I get what you're saying. They get lots of time with their family. I hear you, Shaughnessy, but let's be real, okay? These guys aren't sitting at home. You watch Tom versus Time, Tom's sitting there watching the clicker. He's watching film all day. He's not spending quality time with his kids.
You think for the last 4 months he's been sitting there watching game tape?
He's been training.
Sure. How many hours a day? 4 or 5 hours?
4 or 5 hours a day. And
yeah, so what does he do with the other 10 hours a day?
Plenty of time for the little people.
He gets rubbed out.
Stop it. It's so outrageous.
You get the masseuse.
How does anyone have sympathy for him on that front? Oh, he doesn't get enough time with his family. Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
Yes, he does. He has a job like everybody else. Yes, he does. Dave in Lexington. Hey, Dave.
Hey,
I am
more Team Tom than anything else. But I deferring to Zolak, been a quarterback. If they had traded Brady and not Garoppolo, where can Brady go? I mean, is it a given that he can go someplace else and play at a high level at 41, getting into a new system and end his career on as high a note as he could end it in New England?
No, probably not. Probably not, because when you live in a system, and he talks about things are systematic, where he disagrees with some of the preparation for the systematic approach, right? Where everybody's got to do the power clean squats, this and that. The nice thing about having a systematic offense is it's his offense. So wherever he would have to go, he would have to teach that offense to everybody. He'd have to teach to the coaches. He'd have to restructure relationships, build relationships. He, in essence, would be the new guy, the outsider. It would take time. That's hard to do. I mean, look at the Garoppolo. When Garoppolo went out there, he didn't play right away.
Did it take time for Peyton Manning when he went to Denver?
It did, yeah.
How much time?
But you got an entire offseason. I'm saying, if you would have dealt Brady...
You mean today?
I'm talking about if you would have dealt Brady, say, to San Francisco in the middle of the year last year, he would not have had the same type of MVP year that he's
having. Sorry, if you're trading for Tom Brady, you're basically building everything around what he wants to do.
Right, and it had to be an offseason.
He's not going
to
learn someone else's...
You're not bringing Brady in the middle of the offseason. Come on.
He's going to be the offense. Right. Mike in West Roxbury. Hello again, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I had two quick points. My first was about Belichick, and I didn't know if he got some sort of kickback if he spent below the salary cap, because otherwise I don't know what motivation he'd have to be, you know, so low in the NFL on salary cap the past few years. My other quick comment was just about the media and just about Tom Curran kind of brought up for me where everyone's saying that the media is so hard in Boston, and then you hear a guy like Curran, who I like, but it seems like he was bought off by a massage, and you hear the Kyrie Irving press conference, and everyone's laughing away. Or Bill Belichick when he says something, mild ignites. Everyone's laughing and just like it's just like I don't feel like the media is that hard anymore. I feel like if you just kind of treat them mean and then throw them a bone, they fall in love with you.
Well, Dan can speak to this better than any of us.
It hasn't worked for me, but.
Why even go? It's to the point for you. Don't even go to Foxborough, right?
Last man standing type of thing. Are you not?
Well, it's
you guys said mittens down
again. Oh, love Ben Vogt.
I just think back to the days of Will McDonough or Kevin Mannix when he was writing, and just you could read any one of the writers in town, and they'd be crushing a team.
Borges,
of course. How could I forgot Borges? Anybody name?
Yep.
Name a guy from 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
But even Ron, when he's down, he doesn't
everybody
get into
was
it.
Getting crushed.
Yep.
By everybody. That's not true anymore.
The golden days.
They've been trained to ask the
right
questions.
You're sort of a voice in the wilderness out there now, Shaughnessy.
Well, it's like fan journalism has taken over. The kids grow up reading Bill Simmons and all that, and it's like fans writing for fans. So it's a different approach.
Dan's date's coming up at 12:50 here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Chris Sale hits the mound tonight in Minneapolis Target Field. It's the first of three against the Twins. The last series for the Red Sox on this road trip. They'll get underway at 8:10 Boston time. Matt Grislick has a new two-year, $2.8 million contract extension with the Bruins. Elsewhere in hockey today, Barry Trotz, head coach of the Washington Capitals, quit today now a free agent. This after the Capitals won their first Stanley Cup back on June 7th. Bucks guard Sterling Brown filed a lawsuit today against the city of Milwaukee and the police department. He's claiming unlawful arrest and excessive force. He was hit with a stun gun when officers tried to arrest him for a parking violation. World Cup matches going on today. Senegal now leads Poland 2-0. They're in the 71st minute. Earlier, Japan over Colombia 2-1. Coming up at 2 o'clock, it'll be Egypt and Russia. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can perfect. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Joe is in Rentham today. He's been waiting patiently.
Yeah. All right,
Rentham is represented. Woo! Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Seen the bear, Joe? There's a bear in Rentham.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I wish I saw it. I just want to say, on this all this whole Team Bill, Team Brady stuff, I think it's obvious that you got to be Team Brady here. I mean, Brady's been dedicated here for so long. He's taken so many pay cuts.
Not obvious to all of us, Joe.
I guess not.
You know what? With Edelman out for four games, though, I think that's what it's ultimately going to be. He's going to sit for four games. You need Brady more than ever.
Exactly. I mean, he's been the most loyal person in New England history, honestly. And in a time where, in sports, everyone goes where the money is, he's been here, he's taking pay cuts, he wants to be here, where Bill just slapped him in the face, you know, recently.
So oh, cry me a river. Jeez, you got to be kidding me. Taking pay cuts. You know, I want to see the rental arrangement for TB12. At Patriot Place.
What is Brady's salary at this year?
I don't know.
He's got $15 million coming to him this year.
What's Flacco making? $25 million? With the worst quarterback?
Right north of that.
Bill's got about $15 million this year in freed up cap space. You got to pay people to help Tom win. I mean, it's been proven with bringing him off and good players. And not playing soldier is absurd. You got to protect Brady.
Okay, He's Team Tom.
Team Tom.
Team Tom. He is strongly in the
camp. Big time.
Team Tom.
Yeah.
You okay, Zo?
Yeah, that's a great call from Rentham.
Oh, yeah. That's what he's upset about. Steve is in the car.
They
Steve.
See the bear.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? What's up,
Zo? What's up? You from Rentham?
No. I'm from the North End.
Nice.
Hey, listen. This whole deal with Brady being about money, it's totally bogus. That part's easy. It's $5 million. You cut Dwayne Allen, you give him the $5 million. Done. It's about him wanting to go out in his retirement the way he wants to go out. This rift started between him and Belichick way back before even Jimmy. He wants to do the things he wants to do. He's put in the time. It's about his old contract. All the deals he took to help the salary cap. That now he wants to be able to do whatever he wants. He doesn't want to live under the, he wants the LeBron James treatment. He doesn't want to live under Bill Belichick's full rule. He wants to be able to go out the way he wants to go out. So that's the rift. So all it takes, they got to just sit down, him and Bill, have a little negotiation, figure out a little give and take, who wants to do what, and that's it. And the other thing is, you got to get that Brent Smoke Shop.
Will's in the truck. Will, go ahead.
Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. What's up, Zo?
What's up?
How we doing?
How you doing? Did you get one of those sup shirts?
What?
Nothing.
All right, cool. Hey, I got a question for Dan.
Yes.
Is there any way we can get rid of JBJ? Like, any way, any value? What
well,
do you think?
This is a very...
A box of tape or
it's
something.
A very good question. And
yeah, right?
If you go back to last year...
Sunflower seeds, a bucket?
Remember the...
What?
The people around here thought it was stupid to think about trading him for... Oh, my God.
It's the greatest center fielder ever played.
Puig was a guy. Yeah. Didn't want to trade him for
right.
Puig.
Correct.
Jose Abreu.
Didn't want to trade for Abreu.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Well, what's happened? I thought he was coming around. I thought everyone was telling me that.
He had that one home run.
I thought I thought he had arrived like 3 weeks
for this
ago.
Guy,
what happened?
The love for this guy is so disproportionate. You know, he's a nice kid. He makes a great catch. He's a really good center fielder, as good as we've seen.
Really?
But it doesn't matter.
I thought 140 for June was good. No?
Oh.
That's not good? Batting 140?
Oh, he hit the home run
the manager.
No?
The manager.
Don't let him get hot.
I thought batting 140 was a good thing. I don't know.
Earl Weaver once said about Mike Cuellar, I gave him more chances than my first wife. And that's what Alex Cora is doing with Jackie Bradley Jr. He loves him. He keeps pumping his tires. Oh, he's squared up a couple balls today. We think he's coming out of it, the whole thing. It's historic, Beetle. I mean, we are encroaching on historic territory here. Like, one of the worst offensive players of all time. And one of the worst offensive seasons of all time. I mean, the numbers are there if you check it. And it's only mid-June, so there is certainly time for him to right the ship here. But, I mean, he hit two home runs his last four games. He's still hitting a buck 80-something. And center field, Maz and I have been down this path. It's an overrated defensive position. It's great when it happens. How many game changers do you get? When it happens, it's great. It's not shortstop. It's not catcher. You don't carry 180. He's not Paul Blair, thank you very much, who hit 250 for his career. And JBJ had that. It's strange now to think back. What, 25, 26 bombs one year, starts the All-Star game. He can do a lot of things. He's a great outfielder. But, man, this is just he's an automatic out and an automatic strikeout when they need that. You got the first and third thing. I think he's sitting on 15 RBIs. And the reason Betts has no RBIs out of the leadoff spot is because Vasquez and JBJ are never on base. I mean, the guy's hitting ahead of him. There's no one on base when Betts comes up. Not just because the start of the game, the rest of the game.
Who do you want in the lineup?
Well, this is the thing. I want Hanley Ramirez in the lineup, and that's
well,
another.
He's not here anymore.
Yeah, that's another thing. But that, you know, they just had more. They had more ways to go, more options at that point. So Jim's point is a fair point. They don't have Young this year. You know, they don't have the proverbial fourth outfielder. That should be something that they're looking for in addition to a seventh, eighth inning guy when they get to the deadline. Is a fourth outfielder. They don't have that. So you end up with a goofy Swihart thing or JD in the outfield or whatever.
You want to see more Brock Holt, Beetle?
Yeah, actually, I think Holt offensively is going to probably give you more.
That's another issue, though.
What Jackie
you're going to be seeing
Jr.
more of him
doing.
At second base because Nunez is just killing him over there at second. We don't know what the story is.
What's
with
that
Pedroia.
Tools plate song? I want to dance with somebody. Is it Whitney Houston?
Oh,
it is, isn't it? Is this when I should start doing the
Mr. Tryhard?
In his last 10 games, he's X, which I hate. Oh, I hate when they do this with Jackie Bradley
Jerry Pickin,
Jr.
Yeah.
When he's in his last, you know, 7.5 games, when you get ridiculous. Well, in his last 10 games, he's batting 118. That's for his last 10. I mean,
it's historic.
Why don't I start cherry picking? This stupid cherry picking that goes on with this player.
No, but who do you want in the lineup, though?
Oh,
that's the question. Do you want Sam Travis in the lineup? Do you want Brock Holt in the lineup? Do you want Swihart in the lineup?
I just told you I'd take Brock Holt. I'd take more Brock Holt. No problem.
And JD Martinez is an everyday outfielder?
107 over his last.
This is why they should have
games.
Kept Hanley.
107.
The non-answers from Beetle are great, though.
I would take JD Martinez if he needs to play the outfield to remedy this. Yeah, I would. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing that he keeps. No one gets to keep their spot in the lineup the way this guy does.
Nobody!
Nobody.
Maybe he's Parkette.
It's unbelievable. It's like he's got pictures. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's a rare thing.
It's not amazing, but the other options aren't better.
Well, they put themselves in that box.
They're in trouble.
Well.
I mean, they're really good. Problem is, Yankees are in a dead heat tie with you right now. No, they got four games in hand.
It's going to get good. Yeah, it's going to get good.
Nobody's talking about the Yankees, and they're still right there. Like, you think Red Sox are rolling.
Yankees are like 39-12 in the last, you know, they've been killing. They had a relatively ordinary first 2 weeks, and they've been just killing it since then.
Brock Holt this year has been a 300 hitter.
Well, yeah.
What he is.
Big time surprise
but
for me.
Until he plays every day.
Yeah, and then what? He's like a 250 hitter.
Then he goes down.
We've been through 75 points higher than what Jackie Bradley
I'd take
is.
Him then.
Don't tell me that there's not offensively better options.
So you want Brock Holt to be an everyday player
on
this team?
Right now, I'd take Brock Holt as an everyday player over Jackie Bradley Jr. Yep, I would. If that's what it takes, Jim, I've got to get up and watch that every day. Yes, I do.
It's amazing they don't have any depth. I mean, for a team that's on a pace to win 104 games, whatever.
You better not get hurt.
Like, Jim,
no
you think
depth.
It's okay? You think it's just fine to keep on going like this with
are they the options Bradley they have, Jr.? Yes.
Are
the options they have, yes.
Are they one injury away from playing
They're
game?
Winning games, aren't
really?
They?
Yeah, they are.
Well, that's going to continue. And again, they've done a good job killing the bad teams and then holding their own against the good ones. That's good enough for me. They got 2 out of 4 in Seattle. They got 2 out of 4 in Houston, and they're 3-3 against the Yanks.
Yep, 500 against what? The teams that matter, Dan.
The teams that matter.
Dan's dates coming up next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Today is June 19th, and Dan provides the dates, this date in history. What do you got for us? Start with the birthdays, Dan.
Yeah, I got a few birthdays here. One of the Four Seasons. No one's heard of this guy because it's not Frankie Valli. Tommy DeVito is 90.
Tommy Spring?
You saw...
Strong start to the dates. Here's a guy no one's ever heard of.
He's one of the Four Seasons.
That's like saying...
One of the Four Seasons. Which season was he?
He was fall, I think. He might be winter.
It's like you're given a name of like one of the Commodores, and it's not Lionel Richie.
I understand. That's fair.
Okay.
All right. Alicia Rashad is 70, once married to...
Bill Cosby.
No, not...
No?
Also,
Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, she had two
damn it!
Two husbands.
Ahmad NBA Rashad. Inside stuff is right. What my generation knows him best for. He was also a former NFL player.
Married to Ahmad Rashad.
Was it Ahmad Rashad who had...
He was Michael Jordan's Jim Gray, as Jim Louth points out.
I think Ahmad Rashad had both O.J. and Bill Cosby stand up for him at his wedding. There was a photo floating around a couple of weeks ago.
I liked him. He did my my first start against the Jets. He and Jim Lampley did the game.
Oh.
And one of the coolest things I thought was the night before, you know, you talked to the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Sitting in a room with Ahmad Rashad. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I know you.
Well,
for the Vikings.
Alicia Rashad's sister is Debbie Allen, who was married to Norm Nixon.
Who? What?
Come on. Norm Nixon was the starting guard with Magic when they won.
I even knew that.
Before they traded for
Byron
Scott.
Holy crap. This is... I'm looking at that photo.
What?
That Hardy just talked about. That's the marriage of Ahmad.
Did I nail it?
Lisa Rashad. And look.
Like, it looked like they got masks.
Bill Cosby and OJ were his groomsmen.
Oh, my God.
That's a hell of a wedding party.
Wow.
Couldn't get Jeffrey Dahmer?
Unavailable.
Wow.
I'll bring the jello pudding.
Kathleen Turner, y'all know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Indiana Jones and Temple Down.
That's right, that's one of them. Yep.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
Kathleen Turner was in Indiana Jones.
Romancing the Stone
with the...
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Another one, same movie.
War of the Roses.
Also in Body Heat with William Hurt, War of the Roses, yes.
Everybody thought she was like... Never mind.
She was super hot, but...
She's 64 now.
Nope. She's sort of like... You know what she was? She was the first Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, that's
good. You know
what I'm saying? Zoe's right.
Like, you're either in or you're out. I'm out.
Yep, it's very good. Okay.
Out. Miscast.
Paula Abdul is 56 today.
Yep.
Very good.
She's 56.
She's a choreographer for the Laker cheerleader. She was a
Laker girl.
A singer. Yep. Mm.
She was a Laker girl herself.
American Idol judge later in life.
Yes. She was good on American Idol. I liked her on American Idol.
She was a little flaky.
What was the name of the cat in the Opposites Attract video? It wasn't MC Scat Cat, was it?
Yep. It sang. The cat sang.
I'm not going to get that
MC Scat Cat.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
There you go.
It was a cartoon cat. It was a cartoon cat that sang.
All right, let's see if Zoe knows this one. This man is 71 today. Salman Rushdie. Do you know who that is?
Yep.
Who is he?
I don't know.
Okay. He was the man that the Ayatollah put out the fatwa on.
Didn't we talk about him last week?
Because of Cat Stevens.
Yeah, because
author of the
satanic verses.
Yeah, Peace Train My Ass. You remember that one?
Yes.
You know, it was the whole thing.
But
so.
he took it back. You won't give the guy any credit for it. Yeah.
For taking it back and wanting to come to America and make money again.
You issue one fatwa and you're dead in Dan Shaughnessy's eyes. You can never be a good guy again.
Well, Salman Rushdie...
Be a good Christian, Dan, and offer forgiveness, would you?
The satanic verses and the Ayatollah put out the fatwa, and he was in hiding for years. And then he married Padma, who's on Top Chef.
That was one
of his wives.
Really?
Correct. That is correct.
One of?
And I had dinner with Padma and didn't know the Salman Rushdie connection.
She got assaulted locally here. They were filming
in
Boston about a year ago, and the Teamsters roughed her up.
Yeah. Physically, but yes, there was a. Well, they were very abusive.
She felt threatened for her life.
They paid the price. Yes, that is all true.
Threats.
Very good, Zoe. You were all over that one.
Wow. Okay. I watched Top Chef.
Again, other than not knowing who show.
Other than not knowing who Salman Rushdie was, he was all over
that. You can't do big.
He was great.
Other people that were born this day, Lou Gehrig, 1903. And more important, Mo from the Three Stooges.
Mo Howard.
1897. Yeah, Mo was the oldest.
He lived a long life, too, did he not?
Yeah, he lived longer than Porcupine.
Terrible hair.
Yeah.
No, that was Porcupine.
Who was the worst stooge? It was Shemp.
Oh, by far. By a mile, yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes the Shemp
episode. No, he had no chance.
Yeah. Who was the other?
And Moe and Curly.
Larry Curly.
Moe and Curly are actual brothers, right?
There was another one.
Shemp was one of the brothers.
Joe was annoying.
Oh, Joe was bad.
Joe and Shemp and Shemp.
Yeah, Shemp wasn't as bad as Joe. That's true.
Joe thought he was funny.
Curly died when he was 48. He had health problems his entire life.
He and Moe were actual brothers, correct?
Shemp, Moe, and Curly were all brothers.
Oh, Shemp was a
brother,
too?
Shemp was a brother, too. Yeah. Shemp was their brother, too.
Shemp should have had Moe's hair.
Shemp lived until he was 60.
Yeah.
And Moe lived until he was 77 years old. So out of the he outlived the rest of them.
Wallach's favorite song, Hey Mo.
Beale, you probably already know this, but I was watching over three grandchildren, all under the age of two, all boys, and the key was to put the Stooges on.
The hell did you do?
Everybody's,
my four-year-old loves
their heads just they're locked in. Like, you know,
you're kidding.
No, I put the Stooges on, and everybody was attentive. You know, just like in their chairs.
There was someone. There was another adult in the
house.
Yeah,
it was. Yes,
you didn't leave Grandpa Dan in charge.
No, but my 4-year old while watching A Plumbing We Will Go.
It's We Will Go. Just turn on anything.
He will watch it.
Yeah.
On loop. He will watch that episode on loop. He loves it so much.
All right.
It's the best Stooges episode.
The Edelmans are loving us right now for talking about
A Plumbing We Will Go. He will watch over and over and over again.
Smart boy.
And it's just so fun because he will die laughing like that. You're like,
can I get a glass of water?
Belly laugh from a 4-year. You're like, this is the best thing going.
Yeah, until he hits his brother in the head with a monkey wrench.
But Chef did it.
Porcupine. Okay, so off to the Stooges. This is going to be kind of a downer. So on this date in 1775, George Washington was commissioned by the Continental Congress as Commander-in-Chief. There you go. Zoe liked that one.
Yep.
On this date in 1944, during World War II, the two-day Battle of Philippine Sea began. This was a big win for the Americans over the Japanese.
I'd say so. War's over in 2 days.
On this date in 1953, the Rosenbergs were executed at Sing Sing in New York.
You battle.
On this date in 1964, the Civil Rights Act was approved by the Senate. On this date in 1978, Garfield was created. That's pretty
Garfield
good.
Garfield the cat?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Garfield. What's his favorite food, Dan?
I don't know.
Lasagna.
What's the dog's name?
Odie.
Odie.
Who's the author of the comic strip?
Jim something.
Davis.
Jim Davis.
Damn it!
You know, Zoe, when
Jim,
I was,
though, right?
Jim yeah.
So when I was a little kid, I was the youngest of five, and we didn't have car seats or any of that stuff back then. It was just like you were.
You know, sat in the. But you really.
They put me across
the
back.
Seating.
I was across the back. The window, there was a little flat in front of the window.
They just laid you down.
So I was across the back of the window, like Garfield, just looking at all the cars behind.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was safe.
I don't know how we survived.
Zoe, another University of Maryland. On this date, 1986, Len Bias suffered a fatal cocaine induced
seizure. Fear the turtle!
Yep, 1986. 32 years.
Tell you what, I've watched him play summer league ball.
Oh, he was great.
And watched him play on my recruiting trips against like Duke and stuff. That baseline windmill dunk.
He was so good.
One of the best I've ever seen, man.
He was so good.
That's a shame.
Now this date, 1999, Stephen King was seriously injured, struck by a van. He was just walking in Maine.
Was he walking in Pet Cemetery?
Got to walk toward the traffic. Never walk with the traffic's coming up behind you.
That's terrible,
lesson
man. That was
learned.
Awful.
He accident. Almost died. It was horrible. Horrible thing.
Friend of Shaughnessy, another one.
Oh, we're tight, yeah. And already ruined by you guys. This is the date when James Gandolfini died in 2013, 5 years ago.
Don't say you guys.
Was it Zoe or B?
Yeah, it was Zoe.
Oh, sorry, of course. On this date, this is amazing. In 1942, Joe DiMaggio struck out 3 times. The only time in his career. That would be like a normal Jackie Bradley. That would be like every day. And he played 1,787 games. He had 1 3-strikeout game. On this date in 1942.
You know that I now need to know how many times Jackie Bradley Jr. has had a 3-strike.
Well, you can go.
And I'm going to go look it up while you keep talking.
Hardy, you like this. So this date in 2000, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open by 15 shots.
That was, you know, that's what you talk about when you're trying to explain someone's dominance. Yeah. That Tiger Woods' dominance in the game. He lapped the field at that? Pebble Beach.
Oh, my God.
Once he finished with that season, he said, I had to change my swing. So the only reason why he won by that much is because he had to attack every pin, and he didn't have another shot to go to. He had to play this certain style of golf. He wanted to change his swing to become more consistent, and he did. He changed his swing like 3 times during his run of success.
Did he kill Bethpage Black, too? Was that
he did win the Open at Bethpage Black? Yeah, but I, it
not
wasn't
by 15.
15 strokes.
No,
I mean,
no,
that does not happen.
Secretary in the Belmont. That was it.
Baseball Reference says he's had three or more strikeouts in a game 20 times in his career.
Oh, that's so bad, Beetle.
Including four this year.
He's got pictures on somebody.
That was unnecessary.
He's got pictures. You're right, Beetle.
So I have just one left, and Hardy's going to deliver the last date.
On this date, in the year of our Lord, 1846, a full 1 score minus 5 years before this nation would turn brother against brother in its bloodiest Civil War battle, the very first organized baseball game is played between Alexander Cartwright's New York Knickerbockers and the New York Nine. The contest is proclaimed to be the very first game played in public using Cartwright's rules. Parentheses, our thanks to Alexander Joy Cartwright IV for sharing this historic fact, end parentheses.
And where was the game played?
We don't know.
No, Hoboken, New Jersey.
That doesn't say that.
Home of Frank Sinatra.
Okay, well, you made that part up.
Nope. He's from that dump.
Something else happened in Pittsburgh on this day, Joe.
Nice.
In 1905, the opening of the world's first Nickelodeon.
Oh!
In Pittsburgh.
Do you know what music.
This song was probably playing.
I don't know what a Nickelodeon is, but apparently it's a place where it costs a nickel to get
fans
in.
Go.
It'd be vaudeville and some short films, too. How about that?
Mm.
That's it. Now you can cut it.
Okay, Dan.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week, pal.
Bye, Dan.
Unbelievable.